Today, we are talking about God's presence, the invitation that God is extending to us to join Him, to meet with Him in His presence. So, the verse is going to be Luke 9:28 that will get us going with the conversation. And before we start the conversation, I'll go ahead and say that there are several points, and I'm sure several things you have heard taught associated with this particular verse. But for the focus of this devotion, we're going to drill in and talk about God's presence, the invitation that He gives us to enter in to His presence. So Luke 9:28, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings that He, being Jesus, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Skipping down to verse 34, while He thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." So Jesus invited Peter, James, and John to a mountain. He took them up this mountain. And I'll just pause for a second and say, oh, the places the Lord wants to take you and me. So He was taking them up this mountain to pray. I don't know if they had ever had an invitation like this before. Either way, it's an invitation from the Lord God Almighty to come to a place apart from everything else just to be with Him. There's an invitation to go, to join Him, to be with Him, away from all distractions, away from all demands of our attention, again, just to be with the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I may or may not be a little afraid of heights. So we're talking about Jesus inviting Peter, James, and John up a mountain. And as I was preparing for this devotion, this story came to mind. I won't retell the whole story, but a few years ago, a group from our church took a trip to Honduras. And I can't recall the exact location, but the Schreckheist family, whom had invited us, took us up this mountain. What an invitation, right? And they brought us to a swinging bridge. I don't even know how long or how high it was above the ground, but it was real high and it could swing. And to connect this with the verse that we just read before, so just as Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a mountain, here the Schreckheist family is taking us up a mountain. It's a place that we had never been before, never seen before, but it was an invitation to walk with them across this bridge and to, who knew, you know, what was going to be on the other side. So I'll make the story a little short to save myself the embarrassment. But after I finished screaming, I was semi-able to enjoy the beauty of what I could see from this very, very high viewpoint. The river that flowed beneath that bridge was absolutely amazing. And spiritually, I wholeheartedly believe that the Lord has given and will give invitations to be with Him, invitations to higher heights and deeper depths of His presence. And these may very well be invitations to places that we have not yet been with the Lord before, but He's calling us, drawing us, inviting us to go a little deeper, a little further with Him than we have ever been before. So Luke tells us that there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. There was uncertainty. What is this? What's going on? What's going to happen? You know, when I entered or got onto that bridge, I had some fear. What's going on? What's going to happen? You know, my fear may or may not have increased by someone who we were with, who just happened to be making that bridge swing a little more than it needed to. But that's neither here nor there. So if you're scared, or you have this fear, this concern, this uncertainty about responding to the invitation from the Lord to go a little higher or to dig a little deeper or simply just to begin a walk with God, here's something to think about. So Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Think with me. Have you ever built something? Maybe a chair, a stool, a table, a desk, maybe something you bought in the store and then you came home and put it together. But it's something that was intended to be supportive. So it's meant to be sturdy. And when you finish, you're checking it just for that. How sturdy is this? You know, is this going to hold? Can it withstand continued weight or pressure? Maybe you've sat on something that didn't quite feel too secure or sturdy. Sitting on that bench, you begin to hear the creaks and the cracks, and you're thinking, I better get up or I'm going down. We probably all have that dear friend that thinks a little Gorilla Glue and duct tape will fix anything. It'll make it sturdy. It'll make it hold. But taking one look at their handiwork of Gorilla Glue and duct tape has you thinking, no, brother, and you're running the other way. So to tie this in, faith is a substance. That means to be confident in what I'm setting something or placing something on. It's having confidence in the structure, the chair, the bench isn't going to break. It's being confident in the foundation. A bridge, for example, no matter the uncertainties, no matter the winds that may blow, you know this is firm. You feel comfortable walking on this. You feel comfortable walking in this. Now, I'm not going to take a step of faith and all of a sudden the bottom falls out. A walk of faith is being confident in the foundation. This way, this walk, this truth will hold. Now, do we trip and fall at times? Yes, we can be clumsy humans at times. None of us are perfect, but the foundation, this walk, is firm. I think about that verse that says, He maketh my way perfect. Every step that I take with the Lord can be made in complete confidence. I'm confident in what I'm placing my faith in. This will remain firm. It will support me. It will hold. We've talked about the substance in this verse, but there's also the evidence or the proof. So going back to my good old buddy that wants to use Gorilla Glue and duct tape for everything, he or she may ask me to test out this rickety looking chair that they just made. But before I sit down in faith, you want to see, or I want to see, the evidence, the proof that Gorilla Glue and duct tape really do work miracles. So I may say to my dear friend, I want to see evidence. I want to see proof before I sit down. So you sit down first and then I'll try. But relating that to the verse, it's evidence, proof in things not seen. So the journey to higher heights and deeper depths with the Lord is not held together with Gorilla Glue and duct tape. I'm not saying that every day it's easy. We do struggle. Sometimes we trip. We're human. But every step of faith can be done with a heart full of trust in the Master. So how does this help you if you're scared in responding to the invitation to go higher or to go deeper or just to come to God? Well, thinking about all of this helps me kind of keep in mind that God is real. His word is true. I can take him at his word. If the Lord is saying, come, even though I can't see what's coming, I know who called to me. God isn't drawing me to a place to leave me there. He is drawing me to a place to meet me there. So if you're scared, if you're worried, if you're uncertain, think about the loving kindness, the grace, the mercy, the hope of the one who's calling. Let's go back to Luke. He was telling us about that cloud. There came a cloud and overshadowed them. Overshadowed isn't a word that you hear every day. At least I don't hear it every day. But it means to enclose or to enfold completely. If I can relate it to a few songs that you may know, surround me, O Lord. Shut in with God in the secret place, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Luke tells us that there came a voice out of the cloud. So here Peter, James, and John are surrounded by the presence of God, and they hear his voice. Now, God talks to us in many ways. We have his word, the Bible. We have the man of God in our life, our pastor, through people, maybe it's a family or a friend. But one way of letting the Lord speak into my life is letting God speak to me while I'm in his presence. So when I get down to pray, yes, I am doing some talking, but I also want to make sure that I give God all the room and time he wants to speak to me, to lead me. Well, how do you do that? I'm so glad you asked. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know all the answers, but I can tell you a couple of things that have worked for me and that are working for me. So there is a time to talk. There is a time to make those requests before the Lord. He wants us to. He tells us to. He tells us to seek and knock and ask. But after that, consider praying his word. When I'm praying his word, those aren't my words. Those are his words to me. So for example, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Don't just read it, pray it. Think about it. As I'm praying his word, God begins to confirm his word to me. My shepherd, as Psalms 23 tells me, begins to make his presence known. I begin to feel and embrace that goodness and mercy that that chapter talks about. My spiritual cup begins to overflow. Like David said, my cup runneth over. Another thing that can help, don't fear the silence. So the Lord told Elijah to stand upon a mountain. What an invitation. So in Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon a mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. We live in such a busy, busy world. If I can put it this way, there are lots of wind, earthquakes, and fire in our day. So much so that if we are not intentional about it, we can miss that still small voice. So to put this into application, it may be on my ride to work. I choose not to turn on the radio and give God an opportunity to speak. It may be that as I'm doing laundry, and Lord knows I hate to do the laundry and fold the clothes, I just take that time. I'm getting some things done that have to be done, but in that time of silence, rather than playing music or listening to an audio drama, I'm just having some time of quiet to let the Lord speak. Maybe it's during my prayer time where I've said all I know to say, and now I just take a moment to be still and know that He is God. And listen, God wants us to know Him. So bringing a focus back to the cloud, we read about a cloud several places in the Word of God. But one of the first places that comes to mind is found in Genesis after the flood. So Genesis chapter 9:13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So God is saying, here is a sign of my covenant or my promise to you. So if I can look at the cloud as being God's presence, that bow, that rainbow, the promise, the covenant God is making is kept in His presence. Maybe the promise you are thinking about is something in God's word or something God has spoken directly to you. Either way, the promise, your answer, is kept in His presence. But you may ask, because I have asked this too, what if I haven't received this promise or this answer yet? The Lord promised the gift of the Holy Ghost in His word, but I haven't received it yet. Or maybe it's a more personal promise that is specifically between you and the Lord, and you haven't seen that yet. No tangible evidence of the promise or what God has said that He would do. Well, here's something to think about. When I can't see the tangible part, could it be because what's tangible is in the cloud? You know, when it's cloudy or when it's foggy, I may not be able to see everything as clearly as I want to, but it doesn't mean that something is not there. Could it be the answer that you're looking for is wrapped up in His presence? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I ask myself, ask yourself, am I prepared to move with obedience towards the things I cannot see? So when the invitation comes to go a little higher, to dig a little deeper, am I ready to make that move? Is it an emotional or a physical healing that you're looking for? His word tells us that he'll supply my need. His word tells me to knock. And you may be thinking, I have knocked and I rang the doorbell. But why hasn't he healed me yet? My answer, be it healing, deliverance, a miracle, whatever, it's in the cloud. It's in his presence. I can't see everything in the cloud. Even when I can't see it, he's working. Even when I can't feel it, he's working. You may be closer to your answer than you realize when you're in the cloud, when you're in his presence. God wants to heal. God wants to answer our needs, but he is also very, very interested in relationship. I, like you, have gotten down on my knees to pray and tears have been streaming. I'm in his presence. I'm in the cloud. I may not have gotten up from that time of prayer with the healing that I felt like I needed. But I can walk away from that time of prayer, walking a little closer with the one I know as Father, as friend, as the one in whose arms I feel protected. Keep pursuing his presence. Keep entering into the cloud. And while in that cloud, God begins to reveal more of himself to us. You know, I am still learning myself that God wants to reveal answers to the questions that we have asked. But he doesn't want me to lose sight of this. Just as much as God wants to answer our questions, to reveal those answers to us, he also wants to reveal himself to me so that I know him on a deeper level. There is an invitation to God's presence that I want to take advantage of. I want to accept. And many of you that may be listening, I'm sure have reached depths in his presence that maybe I have not been to yet. Or maybe you're just starting to walk with God and learning what all of this is, and you feel like, I ain't reached no depth of his presence. It's not about a comparison among ourselves, but it's a continual, intentional pursuit of his presence. Now, there are times that many of you could identify with, I'm sure, when God sends a direct express mail invitation for you to meet with him. It's like he knew where you was. He done tracked you down, and you got a hand-delivered invitation or letter that is leading you, calling you to meet with him. Then, at other times, we've all been there, our desire can feel weak. And we got an invitation, but that invite got lost in my stack of junk mail on the coffee table. I didn't even open it. Or maybe I have opened the invitation and decided, not right now, Lord. Or maybe you have this feeling of being so discouraged, thinking, I don't even feel like I'm getting an invitation to draw closer to the Lord. How can I make this pursuit into God's presence on my own? Maybe you're thinking, God, I don't feel that pull or that draw like I want to. I don't feel like entering into prayer. I don't feel like getting into the cloud. I don't feel like getting into your presence with tears and passion and purpose. We've been there. I've been there. Don't stand on what you feel. Stand on what you know. God, I know that there is something in your presence for me. I've heard about it. I've read about it in your word. I see it in other people. There's something different about somebody who's had some time in the presence of the Lord. I know there's more. Maybe entering to his presence is something you haven't tried before. Take the approach of, God, I am willing to explore this. I don't understand it. I don't feel like I have a relationship with you. This is new territory for me, but I'm willing to try. I'm willing to pursue. Maybe I don't feel the pull or the invitation right now, but I'm willing to give this a shot. If you're willing to pursue God, to begin that pursuit, that is a place to start. And we've all been in that place of feeling like we trip over the same old habits, temptations, struggles. We know we need a way out, but we feel down for the count. We feel unworthy of an invitation, even when we get an invitation. And at that place, at least for me, I just had to be honest with God. God, here's where I am. I feel down for the count. Things are out of my control. I've heard that you can help others, but I'm struggling to believe that you can help me too. I don't feel the pull. And this is where choice comes in. I don't feel the pull, Lord. I'm discouraged. I feel unworthy, but I'm going to keep walking. But I need you to meet me along the way. So when we need God to meet us along the way, I'm reminded of the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. You know, in Mark 6:1, it says that he said, being Jesus, unto them, come. He gave an invitation. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert and rest a while. He's saying this to his disciples. His disciples had a personal invitation to spend time in the presence of the Master. The next verse says that they departed into a desert place by ship privately, just them and Jesus. Now, I can read that in my discouraged state and think, Lord, I want that kind of personal invitation. I don't feel a pull, though. But you know what? I'm going to make a choice. I am going to pursue you anyway. And sure enough, as Jesus and the disciples are in this ship, something happens. And Jesus takes notice of something. So Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus saw much people. If I can put it this way, people that didn't get a personal invitation, if you will, but were pursuing the Master. They made a choice. These people didn't hop in their motorboats and speed to the Master, but the Bible tells us that they ran on foot. And that's exactly what you and I can do. Run to the Master one step at a time. This people, or this much people, desired something. When Jesus saw this, even though they didn't have an invitation, he was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep with no shepherd. Sometimes we can find ourselves in this wandering place. God, I don't know who I am or what I'm doing here. What is my purpose? I can't answer all of these questions that are coming my way about life, but I know I've got to get to you. I've got to get to Jesus. The answers are in his presence. Verse 34 of Mark 6 says, he began to teach them many things. Luke 9:11 lets us know that he spake unto them of the kingdom of God. So when this multitude got to Jesus, his response was to talk to them. He began to teach them. They were hearing his voice. So going back to where we started at the beginning of this devotion in Luke 9, there came a voice out of the cloud. The Lord wants to talk to us. The Lord wants to teach us. The Lord wants to help us. If you feel like a lost sheep wandering, remember, he is my shepherd. Luke 9:11 also says that he healed them that had need of healing. There were some answers that came from pursuing and trying to get into his presence. So I didn't read Luke 9:11 before, but it says, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Your answers are in his presence, in the cloud. What came first, the healing or the teaching? Granted, God is very well able to heal in an instant and immediately. And sometimes it doesn't happen that way. There may be some things that God wants to teach us through the process. So Lord, help me to want your relationship more than I want answers to all my questions. He is my shepherd. I want to be that sheep that daily pursues the master. Before the 5,000 were fed, Jesus told them to sit down upon green grass. That's in Mark 6:39. The same account in John chapter 6 and 10 says there was much green grass in the place. Now, I don't know about the terrain of that area, but I'm reading this and scratching my head a little bit because I'm thinking about Mark 6:31 when it says that Jesus told his disciples to come into a desert place. So my mind goes to, well, I'm thinking about a desert, you know, it's sand. There's no resources. There's not much to it. Nothing is out there. I mean, I'm not going to see anything. Going higher to those higher heights or deeper depths, however you want to look at it, going further in your relationship with the Lord. Sometimes that can feel like a lonely place. You're leaving some things behind to make this journey. But think about this. Before the 5,000 were fed, Jesus told them to sit down upon green grass. He fed them and he healed them that had need while they were in a desert place on the grass in his presence. Psalms 23 verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So if there's anything that you can take away from this, I am his sheep. He is my shepherd. Where he's calling, inviting, leading me, I will go. Where he's going, I will follow. Even when I'm weak, when I'm weary, and I don't quite feel the invitation or the draw that I want to. God, if you're going somewhere, I'm willing to follow. enter into the presence of God knowing, God is not drawing me to a place to leave me there. He is drawing me to a place to meet me there.